Michelle Ashen addresses the rights of all seniors and reveals little-known information that can save you thousands. For information regarding Michelle's next seminar, including date, time, and place, or to schedule a free personal consultation, call 641-0236, 641-0236. Remember, knowledge is power, so reserve your seat today, 831-641-0236.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Ah, the joys of Progressive Talk Radio. I want to thank everybody for listening. And let's go ahead and shut those other speakers off. It's our pleasure to bring you Progressive Talk Radio here on at KRXA. We got the Peter B. Collins Show coming up next, and today's show is going to be a great one. We got Nico Pitney from the Center for American Progress, Michael Ratner, who's an amazing lawyer from Center for Constitutional Rights in New York. He'll be talking about Gitmo and the Bagram Air Base and the torture issue that we've been dealing with. Also, Jim March, investigator from blackboxvoting.org, will join us. A man named Rory O'Connor has a great story for us on Able Danger. And Melanie Sloan from Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington will be joining us on the Peter B. Collins Show coming up. Keep listening, and we'll be right back at you here at KRXA 540.
You talking to me? Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show on Fat Tuesday 2006. I want to dedicate our program to the people of the city of New Orleans. They haven't recovered a lot, but they never lost their spirit of partying.
Bury my body, Lord, I don't care where. Bury my body, Lord, I don't care where. Bury my body, 'cause my soul is gonna live with God. All right.
And the Peter B. Collins Show gets underway. Follow-up on the dramatic testimony of Tony Schaefer before Kurt Weldon's subcommittee in the House just in the last week or two. That's all ahead, plus our weekly visit with Melanie And the Peter B. Collins Show gets underway. Follow-up on the dramatic testimony of Tony Schaefer before Kurt Weldon's subcommittee in the House just in the last week or two. That's all ahead, plus our weekly visit with Melanie Sloan from Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. There's some new charges against Rick Santorum for a loan that appears to be a gift. And also, Congressman Johnson of Texas is in the ethical crosshairs. We'll tell you all about that coming up. Plus, room for lots of your calls in the free speech zone starting about 5:15. We do take your calls during interviews, too, so don't be shy. Step forward whenever you have a question or comment at 831-899-5792, a local call for the Central Coast, 831-899-KRXA. And from Eureka, you can call me toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. This afternoon. Hello, Nico.
Hey, Peter. How's it going?
Good to talk with you again. How are things at this...
Coming up here, so...
Well, and cherry blossoms are in your future.
Finally.
Yeah, Washington's beautiful in the springtime for about 3 days.
But we enjoy them.
It's dubious at best, because the Bush administration, instead of taking action domestically, responded, they say, to a request from the executives of Dubai Ports World to put this through another 45-day process of review and consultation, that sort of thing. But it's really bogus because
it's additional review.
Well, and poor Scott McClellan has been talking out of at least four sides of his face.
Yeah, he's been put in a difficult position. I mean, there's been a massive dogpile, and this compromise, I think, was part of the realization by people like Senator Frist that if President Bush went down, that it may bring down plenty of other conservatives with him, that a lot of them had President Bush's, you know, the idea that President Bush put national security as the highest priority. Mm-hmm. That was being undermined, and that was going to hurt conservatives throughout Washington.
Let's talk about the president first. It was remarkable that his first comments about this were, I fully support it, and if Congress, tries to intervene, I will veto any legislation. That was not well received by Republicans or Democrats on the Hill. And after that, it was revealed that this decision, this whole package, did not rise to the presidential level. And Scott McClellan sheepishly admitted that the president had read about this in news accounts on the Friday before the Monday when he made his supportive pronouncement and the veto threat. So the president really seems to be pretty wobbly on this issue. To be so firm as to threaten a veto, something he has yet to use in 5-plus years of his administration, and at the same time, his official spokesperson is saying, well, the president didn't know squat about this.
Yeah, I think he brought out, I think he was in a fundamentally weak position, and he used the veto not because I'm not sure that he expected there to be legislation that was actually passed that he would have to veto. I think in the past he's used the veto threat to kind of tamper down any friction when conservatives get upset. You know, when it's just Democrats, obviously he won't need the veto. But when conservatives start getting upset with a particular policy of his, he threads the veto, and that usually does calm them down. It initiates some compromise efforts. And unfortunately for him, it just didn't work. And that's something he should have seen from the outset, because especially among politicians in the cities where these ports are located, it's entirely bipartisan. And even a threat of a veto wouldn't have stopped those officials from opposing this.
Mm-hmm. Nico, we're going to take a break and continue. If people want to ask a question or make a comment about the port's deal, you're welcome to join us right now. Nico's with us till the bottom of the hour. 831-899-5792, a local call for the Central Coast. That's 899-KRXA. Or you can call us toll-free from Eureka or anywhere else you're listening at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. If you prefer email, I'd love to get your note. Send it to Peter at krxa540.com. And that's the website where we stream the program every day from 3 to 6 p.m., www.krxa540.com. We'll continue in a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it. In 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, the choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just 2 blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience, who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
If you own a Volvo and you want quality repairs and great service at a fair price, then take your Volvo to Hunt's Auto Repair in Seaside. They only work on Volvos, and they can do any needed service and repair, including all factory-recommended maintenance. Owner Mike Brooks is a Volvo-certified and factory-trained technician with over 16 years' experience. Mike's partner, Tracy, is also a factory-trained Volvo service advisor.
Is a locally owned and family-operated full-service Volvo repair shop, where Mike and I feature honest, quality service at a fair price.
Bring your Volvo to us, and we'll do everything possible to ensure that you leave satisfied and fully informed about your Volvo. Remember, that's Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside. For more info, give us a call at 583-9820.
That's 583-9820.
I'm Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Show. Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m., we'll explore Monterey Bay region.
Then I watch them roll away again, yeah. I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away.
We continue our conversation with Nico Pitney from the Center for American Progress. He's co-editor of the Daily Progress Report. And, Nico, I have to confess, we played a spoof song yesterday based on the Dock of the Bay by Otis Redding called Sitting on the Dock of Dubai. But it was not well received by our listeners, so we've shelved it for now. But it was a nice idea.
The original was good enough. I mean, it's
a great song. Now, what do you make of the way the president, and again, he's been all over the map on these issues related to the sale of the ports from a British company to the company that is wholly owned by the nation of Dubai, the nation state, which is part of the United Arab Emirates. And one of the things that he said to try to throw critics off guard is that we're sending a racist message to the world because we permitted a British company to control these ports, and now we are denying that opportunity to a company because they are Arabs. What's your reaction to that, what I consider to be a phony argument from the president?
Well, I mean, I think it's important to say first that there surely is out there some opposition to this deal that's based in racism. I mean, certainly there are people. I mean, and it's not just on the right. You know, there are people on the left also who have been instilled with, you know, the general atmosphere that the president has helped create since 9/11. That, you know, is basically a universally distrusting of these countries in the Arab world, which is bad. But I think the question is here: did the Bush administration follow the law when this deal was going through? The law says, I mean, it states very clearly that a 45-day investigation is required with deals such as the one between the British and Dubai. What happened was a 30-day review, not the 45-day investigation, which is a much fuller process.
Well, and the review is like saying, officer, I investigated myself and I'm innocent, or saying that to a judge or a DA, because it was Jon Snow's Treasury Department that led the so-called investigation. It was more of a review of this deal. And he has a conflict of interest because he's still getting deferred payments or pension payments from CSX, where he was the chief executive. And just after, I mean, moments after he resigned to join the Bush administration, his company made a big deal worth $1.8 billion with Dubai Ports World. And shortly thereafter, the Carlyle Group, with heavy links to the Bush family, bought a stake in CSX. So we can't sort all these things out, and I'm not speaking to pernicious motives of the Secretary of the Treasury because I frankly don't know. But the appearance is of a serious conflict of interest.
Yeah, and it may be that this 45-day investigation takes place, and they don't find that there's any that there should be any serious barriers to this deal going through. But you know, in the days after this controversy first got into the press, news broke about this secret deal that the administration had struck with this company. And the news reports noted that the deal didn't require some elements that are usually part of other similar deals. For example, Dubai Ports, the firm in question, won't be required to keep copies of their business records on U.S. soil. They won't be required to designate a U.S. citizen to accommodate government requests. These seem like pretty basic practices, but they're not currently part of the deal. Maybe the review will just find out that those practices have to go through.
You also point out in the posting that Judd Legum wrote that the deal would not actually be delayed. The company said that during the renewed scrutiny or until May 1, a London-based executive who is a British citizen would have authority over DP World's U.S. operations, but that they were entitled to all profits earned during the period. So that suggests that they will take ownership of P&O and have total control, even if they modify it slightly. Also, if the outcome is different, Dubai Ports World said that it might sue. So that means that they have an expectation that this has already been approved and that they would be damaged if the outcome is changed as a result of this process.
Exactly. And of course, the third major objection is that the sole individual who will decide whether this second review is satisfactory is President Bush, someone who has already said explicitly that he supports the deal, and you know, even perhaps more importantly, whose political reputation right now is being staked on this issue. It's a major issue in the press. The American people overwhelmingly oppose his position on this, and so he has, you know, he's really caught in a bind here. It shouldn't be him who decides, you know, solely.
Yeah, we should put Karl Rove in charge, but he's not too busy these days.
Exactly.
Dave from Humboldt, join us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're on the air.
Hey, well, gentlemen, I'm going to risk appearing more tin hat than normal, I fear, on this one, but I think we may be witnessing the connecting of another dot. If you are one who believes, as I do, that 9/11 never could have happened without the full cooperation, involvement of our White House crew, then it is very possible that the Bushies are dealing with the very same people that helped deliver that favor. You know, they had been looking for a new Pearl Harbor for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Nico, you want to comment?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, I'm not sure on all of these issues, I think it's incredibly complex to work your way through. And as Peter, you pointed out, there are ties between this company. I mean, one thing I will say, you know, the United Arab Emirates, the family that runs it, it's seven people. I mean, they were out dining and taking in sports with Osama bin Laden during the late 1990s. I mean, these are people who are certainly intricately weaved into the geopolitics that you know, go back towards 9/11.
Well, the other piece, and Dave, I'm not dodging your question, but the other piece here that the United States is not forthcoming about is the extent to which we need and want the ports of Dubai, the banking system there, which is loosey-goosey, and, you know, you can have your way with it. We benefit from the open nature of the United Arab Emirates, and yet we are loath to disclose the exact depth of those relationships. Dave, thanks for the call today. And Nico, what's coming about is the extent to which we need and want the ports of Dubai, the banking system there, which is loosey-goosey, and you know, you can have your way with it. We benefit from the open nature of the United Arab Emirates, and yet we are loath to disclose the exact depth of those relationships. Dave, thanks for the call today. And Nico, I appreciate you joining us. I want to direct people to thinkprogress.org, where you can read this piece, The Dubai Port Compromise, a Dishonest Proposal. It's written in blog form, and there are comments posted as well, and you can add some of your own. Nico, thank you.
Thanks very much, Peter.
My pleasure. Coming up next, we're going to talk with Michael Ratner, an attorney and a founder of the Center for Constitutional Rights. We're going to talk about detainees, and we're going to talk about the case for impeachment of the Bush administration. That's ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Are you looking for money for college? Every year, billions of Salinas, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast...
If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Certified estate planner Michelle Ashen of Ashen Senior Resources is issuing a special invitation to her upcoming valuable seminars for seniors and their families. Michelle Ashen is your source for critical information like how to avoid nursing home costs, how to reduce or eliminate taxes on unearned income and at death, whether long-term care insurance is worth it. Michelle Ashen will also teach you how you can increase disposable income, invest in the stock market without risk of capital loss, avoid probate costs, and deal delays. Use the new multi-generation Stretch IRA to avoid unnecessary taxes in the stock market without risk of capital loss. Avoid probate costs and delays. Use the new multi-generation Stretch IRA to avoid unnecessary taxation. Michelle Ashen addresses the rights of all seniors and reveals little-known information that can save you thousands. For information regarding Michelle's next seminar, including date, time, and place, or to schedule a free personal consultation, call 641-0236. 641-0236. Remember, knowledge is power, so reserve your seat today. 831-641-0236. Probate costs and delays. Use the new multi-generation Stretch IRA to avoid unnecessary taxation. Michelle Ashen addresses the rights of all seniors and reveals little-known information that can save you thousands. For information regarding Michelle's next seminar, including date, time, and place, or to schedule a free personal consultation, call 641-0236. 641-0236. Remember, knowledge is power, so reserve your seat today. 831-641-0236. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, live up and down the left coast. We're live on KRXA 540 Monterey, live on KGOE 1480 Eureka. First, I'd like to ask you about today's front page story on the New York Times about the federal government agreeing to a $300,000 settlement of a lawsuit brought by an Egyptian who was one of the dozens of Muslims who were swept up and held, in many cases, for a long time without contact with attorneys or family members and without being charged after 9/11. And this is apparently a breakthrough. Tell me what it means and if this is an admission of significance from the federal government.
Well, we called the Center for Constitutional Rights during those first 2 weeks. They didn't know where they were. We would call immigration. They would say they were one place. Immigration said...
And if this is an admission of significance from the federal government.
Well, we called the Center for Constitutional Rights during those first 2 weeks. They didn't know where they were. We would call immigration. They would say they were one place. Immigration said another. The people were then shackled in three-piece suits, chains to their waist, to their ankles, and to their wrists. Lights were on 24 hours a day. They were sworn at, and then many of them were beaten.
Mm-hmm.
What the administration then did was it said, okay, we're going to deport you, but we're not going to let you be deported until you prove you're not a terrorist, which is ridiculous because obviously there was no allegation that any waist to their ankles and to their wrists. Lights were on 24 hours a day. They were sworn at, and then many of them were beaten.
Mm-hmm.
What the administration then did was it said, okay, we're going to deport you, but we're not going to let you be deported until you prove you're not a terrorist, which is ridiculous because obviously there was no allegation that anybody was. People spent up to a year in jail or more. As I said, all of this happened to them. The Center for Constitutional Rights brought a major class action called Turkman v. Ashcroft, in which about a dozen of the people we represent are separate clients who were beaten or had other rat court, which has the laxest standards you can imagine. It means to me that we probably are only at the beginning of the story on what I would call warrantless wiretapping. I mean, it's warrantless wiretapping is something that this country was founded on the principle that you had a certain level of privacy. The government couldn't invade your home. That's what the Fourth Amendment's about. That's what really one of the reasons Nixon got impeached. And we see now an administration not going immediately. In other words, you said, okay, I'll take voluntary departure. And they said, oh, no, we're going to keep you in jail until the FBI gives you a clearance on your any involvement in terrorism. But, of course, the FBI didn't really care when that happened. And they took, sometimes up to a period of a year while you're sitting in jail. And you said, okay, I'll go back to my country of origin, but let me out of here. And, they just kept you, despite there being not a shred of evidence and none ever proven that you were involved in terrorism. And the families, of course, felt people were disappeared. So you have in this one situation, you have essentially arbitrary arrests, you have disappearances, you have beatings, and then you have violations of the Fourth Amendment and keeping people longer than they were entitled to under the Constitution. Pretty bad and overlooked issue, unfortunately, in this country is what I call internal detentions.
Michael Ratner with us from the Center for Constitutional Rights. Let me turn now to the detention centers that are offshore, and I use that term kind of like the Enron term offshore, because the Bush administration has used Enron tactics to try to buffer itself from legal challenges to detentions at Guantanamo Bay on the tip of the island of Cuba. And now we know more about what's been going on at the Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan, where, like Guantanamo, individuals have been detained without charge, without contact, and held indefinitely under grueling conditions, often subject to loud music, sleep deprivation, other forms of what we call torture. Bagram appears to be outside the reach of the U.S. courts. Do you have any angles that you can use legally to force the government to disclose who is at Bagram, what the conditions are, and what the status of those individuals happens to be?
You know, we're seeing really unfolding and now publicly more than it's ever been. Probably one of the most disgusting chapters in our American history that I've ever dealt with, which is to say the government's assertion, the Bush administration's assertion, that it can pick people up anywhere in the world, take them into, as you said, offshore facilities, deprive them of any legal rights, any attorneys, any communication with the outside world, essentially disappear them. You know, if Pinochet's government, when it did that, if it had an offshore island sitting off Chile with, 500 people in it who were being deprived attorneys, family visits, and tortured, I mean, people would be outraged. And what I don't understand about this country right now is that's what's going on, and no one or very few people are either willing to be aware of it or willing to do anything about it. Now, on the particular question you asked, at first the administration's position on Guantanamo was Guantanamo is like Bagram. You have no constitutional rights in Guantanamo. You have no right to bring a writ of habeas corpus, which is the legal term for when you ask the government to justify your detention, say, why am I here, what legal reason. The administration took that position at Guantanamo. I had earlier litigated cases around Haitian refugees in Guantanamo, knew the legal scenario pretty well, knew the administration's position. We eventually won that case in the Supreme Court, saying we have a right to go to court, we have a right to the government to say, why are you holding me, and we have a right to some kind of constitutional rights. Those cases are still going on and pending, and there's a separate matter having to do with what Congress tried to do to deny us of even those rights at Guantanamo. Mm-hmm. Then you get to your question about Bagram. Bagram apparently makes Guantanamo pale in comparison at this point. I mean, in the early days, I think Guantanamo, for the first few years before we could get attorneys in there, was a straight torture camp, and let's not pull any punches about it. Mm-hmm. Since we've been able to get attorneys in there, it's less that and more sort of what you would call an indefinite detention camp that is that without any trials or charges against people.
And Bagram, Michael, we know that the FBI's reports buttress your contentions.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what I'm saying to you is really not, it would be, our clients are credible. We've spoken to them. We have many lawyers go down there. That's credible. But we actually have documentary proof of from A to B at Guantanamo. We have Rumsfeld actually authorizing a dozen interrogation techniques, from hooding to use of dogs to stripping to the temperatures to the music to the stress positions, the whole business. And then you have FBI documents that we've gotten in Freedom of Information Act requests that point out that and complain about how the CIA and the military is treating people at Guantanamo, saying this is not the way you get information from people, assuming there is any information, and we object to this. People are being mistreated. They're not obeying the field manual, Army field manual. They're torturing people. So you have FBI documents actually verifying this. And so when you hear the administration say, for example, that the United Nations report on Guantanamo is not accurate, is based on just statements by Al-Qaeda people trained to lie, that's just another lie of the administration. That kind of is based on documents that we have from the UN from the government, from the FBI, and that are really supported by what Rumsfeld allowed. So that's Guantanamo, and your question is now about Bagram. Now, my view about detentions in general, and it's not a legal view that yet we have been able to litigate in court, is that any time a human being is taken into the custody of the United States government, that person, when they're put into a detention facility, has a right to say to the government, why are you holding me? Charge me and give me a trial. Now, that has not been tested yet at Bagram. Bagram, we have a situation that is like Guantanamo in the early days, which is to say, it's Bagram, it's in Afghanistan, only the ICRC, the Red Cross, is allowed into it. No other human rights groups, no family, we don't know anything about who's there, completely secret facility. The administration will argue, and when and if we go to court on it, that the Guantanamo decision should not be applied to Bagram, because in Guantanamo, the U.S. has what's called complete jurisdiction and control of that part of Cuba through a long-term military base, whereas Bagram is a temporary facility. Mm-hmm. Whether or not they'll prevail on that, I don't know. It certainly does seem to me that the Supreme Court, at least up until it has its two new members, Alito and Roberts, one of whom replaced can't simply pick people up anywhere in the world, put them into some offshore facility, and claim that they have no right to even go into a court and say to the government, why are you holding me?
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break and return with Michael Ratner from the Center for Constitutional Rights, their website, ccr-ny.org, on the Internet. As we continue, I've got a couple of other issues, and then we're going to talk about the case for impeachment of George W. Bush. The Center for Constitutional Rights has just published a book called Articles of Impeachment Against George W. Bush. That's coming up next as we continue with Michael Ratner.
Simply want to show your love. A gift from ThinkerToys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from ThinkerToys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. ThinkerToys is open daily from 10 to 7.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's
393-1300.
Tom Hartman.
The damage that this administration has done in just 5 years is mind-boggling.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
As a bit of a student of history, I don't think that we have ever had an administration that has done so much harm to the United States of America as this administration, as the Bush administration, to our reputation abroad, to our body politic at home. I mean, it is absolutely mind-boggling.
Tom Hartman, live every morning 9 to noon on KRXA 540, the new Radio Free America.
I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you interesting topics and personalities from the world of food, wine, and fun. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, winemakers, restaurateurs, famous chefs, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove. Stop by today for all your quality beverage needs and ask them about their single malt scotch tasting on March 22nd. And tell them the Tasty Planet sent you.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm glad you're listening.
We got a president so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job 'cause of his dad, now we're all in danger. He come around up to no good, broke the old treaties 'cause he could. Struts all around like a hood, got us in a world of trouble.
Yes, we've got ourselves a bad president. That's Yikes McGee from Baltimore. Thank you, Yikes. Michael Ratner from New York continues with us from the Center for Constitutional Rights. And in a moment, we'll get to the case for impeachment. Certainly, the drumbeat is getting louder on that front. I want to turn to just two other quick issues, Michael. One is, how do you react when you hear the president and the vice president try to justify the NSA spying program by citing the Supreme Court's decision in Hamdi?
I react very badly. Hamdi, for your listeners, was a case in which the question was whether or not a U.S. citizen who was picked up allegedly in Afghanistan as part of the battle against the United States could be held essentially as a prisoner of war, as an enemy combatant. An enemy combatant is what they said, not a prisoner of war, because they said Geneva doesn't apply. And the administration claimed that the authorization to use military force in Afghanistan allowed him to be held even though he was an American citizen, despite a special American law that says you need a act of Congress to hold people. Now, the authorization to use force in Afghanistan did not say, yes, and you can hold American citizens who are fighting in the war. But the case went off, six of the justices said you could hold him under that authorization to use military force. Now, that seems obvious, and they said, look, it's obvious that an incident of war, if you're going to go to war and there's people fighting against you, you capture them on the battlefield, you can hold them. There was a dispute about whether they could be held as enemy combatants or prisoners of war, but not relevant to what you and I are talking about. Anyway, out of that argument, because the authorization to use force in Afghanistan did not actually say, it said you could use force, it didn't go on to say, and you can detain people who are fighting against you who are American citizens, the administration now argues, well, based on that authorization to use force, even though it doesn't say, and you can go to war in Afghanistan, and you can wiretap any American citizen who's in communication allegedly with al-Qaeda or a terrorist without a warrant, they're claiming that that statute, even though it doesn't say it, gives the administration the power to do that. Now, what's remarkable about that argument is that argument is sort of absurd on its face.
Mm-hmm.
But even worse is while that statute to use force was being argued about in the Congress of the United States, the administration said, well, we would like it to also include a right to do things domestically around wiretapping and other issues. And that was rejected by the Congress. So here the administration goes to try and broaden that statute allowing it to use force. The Congress turns it down. The administration then, despite both the Foreign Surveillance Act, Foreign Surveillance Intelligence Act, and the fact that they were turned down by Congress, goes around, sneaks behind the backs of both the law and the Congress and the American people, says we're going to wiretap anyway citizens in the United States. Well, it seems to me, you know, it's basically what the administration is doing. They've been caught with their hand in the cookie jar, and they're throwing legal sand in people's faces. I would flunk any law student who actually made the argument that they're making.
And Michael Ratner, finally, before we get to impeachment, the case of Khalid El-Masri. He's a German national. He was grabbed in Macedonia. He was then shipped to Afghanistan, where he reports he was tortured. And he went public with his case in December, while our Secretary of State was on what I call the rice
and they're throwing legal sand in people's faces. I would flunk any law student who actually made the argument that they're making.
And Michael Ratner, finally, before we get to impeachment, the case of Khalid El-Masri. He's a German national. He was grabbed in Macedonia. He was then shipped to Afghanistan, where he reports he was tortured. And he went public with his case in December, while our Secretary of State was on what I call the Rice-a-Palooza No Torture Tour of Europe. And she had the temerity to go into Germany and say, we don't torture, on the same day that his story was widely published and broadcast in the
law student who actually made the argument that they're making.
And Michael Ratner, finally, before we get to impeachment, the case of Khalid El-Masri. He's a German national. He was grabbed in Macedonia. He was then shipped to Afghanistan, where he reports he was tortured. And he went public with his case in December, while our Secretary of State was on what I call the Rice-a-Palooza No Torture Tour of Europe. And she had the temerity to go into Germany and say, we don't torture, on the same day that his story was widely published and broadcast in the media there. I think Condoleezza Rice lied. when she went to detention, isn't there?
Oh, I mean, they're clearly lying. I mean, that incident, which is, it's not an incident, it's part of what the administration calls extraordinary rendition. We call it outsourcing torture. Al-Masri is one case. We represent another man named Maher Arar, who was deported from the United States. He's a Canadian, and Clinton. So it's a valuable book, and I think what's going on out here, people say, well, it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen, why do you do this? But I think there is a growing course of interest in it, and one of the things you notice is the polls are actually much more supportive.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540.
The instant it touches your tongue, it bursts into action. And you know allergy relief is on its way. New Allivert Citrus Burst is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a great-tasting, quick-dissolving tablet. Get the allergy relief you need to keep going. Try new quick-dissolving Allivert Citrus Burst. Experience the relief. Use as directed.
President Bush says his position on allowing an Arab company to run U.S. ports hasn't changed, but CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports there's a lot of skepticism on Capitol Hill.
At a Senate hearing, the chief operating officer of Dubai Port World said his firm runs ports all over the world, got all the proper approvals, and should not be feared.
Does not pose any threat to America's safety and security.
Edward Bilkey is American. The company he runs isn't.
Who owns you? Who owns DP World?
The government of Dubai.
A nation, he acknowledged, that enforces an economic embargo against Israel. Administration officials say this is a good company, and Dubai is an ally in the Arab world. Democrat Byron Dorgan doesn't care.
Everybody says we don't want to offend anybody. What about offending common sense here? I think this proposal's nuts.
A view polls show is widely shared. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist gave the ports deal a tentative endorsement today, saying he has greater comfort after getting more information. President Bush left Washington this afternoon on a trip that will take him to India and Pakistan. It'll be his first visit to both countries. Mr. Bush aims to strengthen relations with India and bolster Pakistan's President Musharraf, whom he considers an ally in the war on terrorism. The Supreme Court ended a long-running dispute today, ruling unanimously that federal racketeering laws can't be used against anti-abortion activists who stage violent protests. The decision does not affect enforcement of state laws. Outside the High Court, an unusual scene.
Please, can you let us through? Can you please let us through?
Former stripper and Playboy playmate Anna Nicole Smith was escorted through a crowd of cameras to a hearing about her battle for the estate of her late husband, Texas oil man J. Howard Marshall.
Inside the chamber.
She was in tears a great deal of the time, and I know that often happens when she hears discussion about J. Howard.
Her attorney, Kent Richland, says Anna Nicole Smith deserves part of her late husband's estate.
He died penniless. That's what the probate court found, because all of his assets have been already taken by Pierce Marshall.
The billionaire's son, Marshall's attorney David Margolis.
Anna Nicole Smith is not the brightest light bulb in the fixture. These are contingency fee lawyers who want to get rich.
He says Smith mistreated her 89-year-old husband. Howard Ehrenstein, CBS News, Washington.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic weekend getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas at a major strip resort? And what about you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge, stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on, you know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call this special toll-free number, 866-41-GO-NOW. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-41-GO-NOW for all the exciting details. That's 866-41-GO-NOW. Call now.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 4:06. We're live on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. We're live on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. Coming up in about a half hour, we're going to take another look at Able Danger. But this half hour,
Vote for me and I'll set you free.
This half hour, we need to issue another electronic voting alert for the state of California. And we try not to sound the alarm unnecessarily. But we want to make you aware that tomorrow your presence is requested in the state capital of Sacramento at the Capitol building for a protest and for some hearings that will be held, and maybe the Secretary of State will actually show up for this one. Jim March joins us this half hour, an investigator with blackboxvoting.org. Hello, Jim. Welcome to our program.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. How about you?
Mediocre. Yeah, chasing interesting stuff in this field. That's all I can say.
Yeah, well, there's always a lot going on with electronic voting, and Diebold is operating on many fronts. And, of course, they have competitors, ES&S and Sequoia, which are no less dangerous to the rights of our citizens and our interest in fair elections with honest outcomes. Tell us a little bit about the hearing and the protest scheduled for Sacramento tomorrow.
Well, I actually don't know that much about the protest, but I know quite a bit about the hearing. Let's talk about what's led up to this. There's a lot of the counties are in a buying frenzy triggered by U.S. Department of Justice threatening various states and counties, saying if you don't have ultra-modern, state-of-the-art, nice brand-new, spanking new voting machines this year, we're going to come down on you like the wrath of God. And they've already said this to, among other people, Elliot Spitzer of New York. New York has taken a hold on, wait a second, this first batch of machines coming down the pike are junk attitude, and U.S. DOJ is trying to fight them on that. So that's part of what's leading up to tomorrow. There are still a total of four voting machines scheduled for a certification hearing made by Hart InterCivic, Sequoia, ES&S, and an up-and-coming smaller outfit called Populex. Now, oddly enough, they're supposed to publish the details on these machines, staff reports, test data, information on the machines to the public on the Secretary of State's own website. But they haven't done that yet for Populex, and they were extremely late on the others. We don't know exactly what's going on in that office, but it's not looking real efficient at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Now, earlier this year, they already approved the Diebold product line, which came as a real shock because, and I can go into the history of that in some detail if we need to,
mm-hmm.
but the Diebold, their own reports acknowledge, reading between the lines, that the Diebold product line did not meet the legal specification for a federally certified voting machine. They said that flat out, and they decided to certify it anyway.
Well, and Bruce McPherson has stated on more than one occasion the process that he expected to follow, which was that he would not certify the machines for California if they had not been approved by the federal office of,
uh-huh.
I think it's called ITA, right?
Yeah, they're independent testing authority are the individual labs, the testing labs.
Mm-hmm.
All of this is ultimately managed by the Federal Election Commission, a group called the Election Assistance Commission. But it's a federal, call it the federal oversight process, and you'll be pretty accurate.
Okay.
That's what Bruce McPherson said, but then he went back on his word. What happened was the Diebold product got its federal certification. They were using interpretive code. Their security stank. There were other problems.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't meet spec. So as of December, he did something quite nice. He actually sent it back to the lab for review. Well, the lab apparently was caught in a quandary. They didn't want to say, hey, we don't want to admit that we messed this last certification up. But on the other hand, if we admit that it's a bad certification, then we don't want to approve an obviously bad product. So they were caught in a catch-22 and just on the Friday afternoon funnies. Well, here's the real issue. Bruce McPherson's office is dedicated to the idea of playing Calvin ball with each certification. Calvin ball, it was a reference to Calvin and Hobbes. That's where a demented 8-year-old makes up rules to a ball game as he goes along and as he wants to. That's how they're acting. over at the Secretary of State's office. Now, the California law says he's got to come up with regulation on this subject. And look, that some people's eyes are glossing over, oh, well, you got to come up with regulation, but there's a reason for that. It sets up an objective process instead of a subjective process. If there's no rules, there's no hard and fast game plan for how they do each certification, then they can make up the rules as they go along based more on political connections than anything else. Right now, two of the three major vendors, ESNS and Sequoia, have lobbying staff that will be there in Sacramento tomorrow who used to work for the California Secretary of State's office as system examiners.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There is a deep level of cronyism, of a rotating door politics similar to the military-industrial complex. We hear all the time about admirals and generals who approve the latest bombs and guns and planes or whatever it is, and then when they've made their approval, they retire, they pick up a juicy vice president slot with Lockheed Martin or SAIC or whatever, or the contractor who they approved the product for. This has been going on for years, and nobody's been paying attention. Well, we're now seeing the same thing in electronic voting. It's not a good situation.
You are correct. We're talking with Jim March. He's investigator with blackboxvoting.org, and I was just reviewing the information here. The hearing is tomorrow at the Secretary of State's office in Sacramento. The hearing starts at 10 a.m., and organizers are asking people to show up at 9 a.m. for a protest and press conference, and that is at 11th and O Streets in Sacramento, Secretary of State's building, 11th and O, 9 a.m. for the protest and press conference, and 10 a.m. is when the hearing will begin. And since this is in the Secretary of State's office, there's a higher probability that Mr. McPherson will actually show up and participate. We'll have to wait and see to find out. Jim, we're going to take a break and return. If you have a question or comment about Diebold, about electronic voting machines, about the certification process, about the way that the Secretary of State has handled this, bring them on. Call me right now at 831-899-5792. That's 899-KRXA on the Central Coast. Or you can call us toll-free from anywhere you're listening at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. It's 4:15, and you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and through electronic filing. Get you that refund as soon as you need it. In 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, the choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hello. I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just 2 blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic. It's 418, and here's Metro Diane.
Looks pretty smooth so far. Currently, we have no new stalls or accidents to tell you about for Monterey, Santa Cruz, or Salinas. Do have a hazard to be aware of for Santa Cruz, Smith Grade at Warren Drive. Reports of power lines laying on the roadway there, as well as hanging very low. So crews are en route to take care of that, but definitely drive with caution throughout the area. We also have a couple accidents coming through for South San Jose. Southbound 101 after 85, we have two vehicles on the right-hand shoulder. Also northbound 101 before Silver Creek Valley Road, two-vehicle accident on the right-hand shoulder there as well. This report is brought to you by Advil. You don't need different pain relievers for different pains. Wherever you heard Advil works, Advil, the every pain reliever. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Diane. We'll check back a little after 445, and Casey Lynch has your traffic every weekday morning on the Stephanie Miller Show right here. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Your calls are welcome as we talk about electronic voting and the certification hearing in the Secretary of State's office in Sacramento tomorrow. 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or you can call me toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. Jim March, an investigator with blackboxvoting.org, is with us this half hour. And I have a juicy quote from Jim March in a letter that you wrote to Secretary of State McPherson. The process by which your agency certifies voting machines is dysfunctional and illegal under California law. Your willingness to tolerate this disregard for the law and basic democratic principles shocks and disheartens us. Now, I agree with your assessment there that the Secretary of State, who is an appointed person into this post, he replaced the disgraced Kevin Shelley, who left a little over a year ago. And to what extent do you believe, Jim, that McPherson is boxed in between the federal Help America Vote Act and its deadlines for certifying and deploying electronic voting machines, and the state laws and procedures that you referenced in your letter? Jim, are you there?
He was. That's a very good question. First thing is he was notified of the need to do regulations for the certification process about a year ago. So the fact that he's done nothing on that front since is the most disheartening thing out of his office. That sounds like a subtle thing, but it's so important to have standards fixed in stone rather than individual staff in his office making decisions on a machine-by-machine basis, mm-hmm. which is what they're doing now. Mm-hmm. Okay, the second thing, though, is if McPherson could get a little bit of intestinal fortitude together, the evidence is there that the federal certification process is broken, and that is enough to tell U.S. Department of Justice or anybody else who wants to enforce HAVA to basically go fly a kite. The evidence is there. Let me give you just one example. Right now on the Secretary of State's website, the one good thing McPherson's done over the course of the last year, he started a process called volume testing of voting machines, which is where you pull 100 of one thing you care about with a voting machine, but it's not the whole story, of course. Well, the lab that approved those machines that failed so often was Wiley Labs. That was the particular lab Diebold chose to use for their testing. On the Secretary of State's website right now, he's head of USDOJ, he could get away with that. The message from the public for tomorrow. If there's one word that you need to cram into Bruce McPherson's eardrum, I should say, is one word, stall. Stall. The current batch of voting machines that are approved by the federal process are junk. They're garbage. With one possible exception, there's half a voting machine called the AccuPoll from ES&S. It appears to be pretty good, but it's useless without other components that are just as problematic as everything else. So, okay, great. We can buy half a voting machine? That's all that's fit right now? No, I don't think so. So the word for the day tomorrow needs to be stall. Put this insane process on hold. Get a process together that works at the state level. Demand a working process at the federal level. Stall, even if it takes a couple of years.
But Jim,
even if we end up counting paper for 2 years.
I understand your point, but isn't McPherson under the gun because HAVA specified that he was supposed to complete this certification by January 1?
That's right. Yes, if he is spineless and he bows down to the people that wrote HAVA, is what he's really bowing to the pressure of, a lot of the same people got caught up in the Abramoff scandal, but that's another story entirely. Yeah, if he caves in, sure, he's pressured by HAVA. But what I'm telling you is he's got the evidence he needs to tell HAVA and the people pushing it to go take a flying leap. He's got the evidence to do it if he can get the guts together. So far, he has not shown the guts.
And what I don't know, and I'm not a lawyer and don't plan to become one, is to what extent HAVA trumps state law and regulation when it comes to management of elections.
Well, part of the problem here is that HAVA required the creation of a functional oversight process at the federal level. This is the funny part, okay? The part of HAVA that specified the creation of good voting machines has been flouted. That part has been ignored by all these people at the federal level, at the vendors. So now the other part of HAVA, which says buy new gear, that part is now being thrown down the state's throat, not just California, but all the states. When the oversight part of it is being ignored, that's insane. That's madness, and that's what's happening today.
We're talking with Jim March, investigator for blackboxvoting.org, and as we mentioned, there is a certification hearing being conducted by the Secretary of State in Sacramento tomorrow, and I have an email here from California Election Protection Network, the Voting Rights Task Force, Black Box Voting, Sacramento for Democracy, CaliforniaBallots.org, and the California Voter Action Group. All of them are encouraging citizens from all around the state to show up. And at 9 a.m., they want to have a rally, a protest, and a press conference. And
Diebold was certified, despite definitely not meeting legal specification for a voting machine in California, or anywhere. It doesn't meet the FEC standards for a voting machine. And the fact that that was approved anyways tells us the process is broken. So Diebold will be very much in people's minds on both sides of the aisle, both, you know, the election officials, the Secretary of State. They've allowed us to download the code, sneak out of the building with 13,000 internal emails. We simply know more about Diebold, and hence they've fallen under the most criticism. But that does not mean that they're the only bad apple, not even close.
Yeah.
There's some evidence out there that the Sequoia system is at least as bad, if not worse. There's troubling questions about all the rest.
Yeah. Jim, we're out of time. I thank you for your efforts and for fighting for our rights for free and fair elections.
Quick tip. The Secretary of State's office is on the Archives Plaza light rail station.
Okay.
To get to Sacramento, light rail takes you right there, Archives Plaza.
11th Street at O, 1500 11th Street in Sacramento. That's the Secretary of State's office, Jim March, from blackboxvoting.org. Thanks for joining us. Coming up next, a look at Abel Danger and why the media has dropped the story. Rory O'Connor joins us on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Monterey Bay Area, this is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily from 10 to 7.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436. 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
Is what you're doing in the market working for you? Are you happy with the results? Are you making money? Sundays at 2 p.m., KRXA is proud to present a new show entitled Safe Money and Retirement Talk, hosted by R.J. Moyer of About College Funding and the Protect My Assets Radio Network. RJ will present the latest information necessary to help you protect your money and ensure a comfortable retirement. Join RJ Moyer every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. for Safe Money and Retirement Talk, right here on KRXA 540.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience. I'm honest. My prices are affordable.
Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer...
This media is not covering it. And joining us is media man Rory O'Connor. He's one of the co-founders of MediaChannel.org, a co-conspirator with the news dissector, Danny Schechter, and he's got the neat office down the hall from Danny's. Hi, Rory.
Hey, you've been here, Peter.
Yes.
Good to talk to you.
Yes, I have. And I had the pleasure of meeting you one afternoon there at the Media Channel World Headquarters. I'm very pleased that you have launched this effort to try to shame the American media into doing its job. Let's first begin by defining for people what Able Danger is and how much difficulty Tony Schaefer has had trying to share the story with Kurt Weldon, the members of the House and Senate, and the American public.
Yeah, good starting question. In summary, Able Danger was an experimental data mining program, an intelligence operation. It was begun in 1999 when General Hugh Shelton, who was the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, was charged with finding out as much as possible about the Al-Qaeda terror group. Obviously, this is 2 years before the attacks of 9/11, but Al-Qaeda in those days was very much on the radar, as you can recall from the Clinton days.
Mm-hmm.
So a small team was put together to try out this new and sort of revolutionary software. It was proprietary computer software by a defense contractor called Orion Scientific. And so a small team was put together working for the U.S. Army with Orion Scientific. And They were basically just wanted to see if this fancy new data mining thing worked. Now, what data mining means, just in the most general sense, is to pull together, to crunch together an enormous amount of information. In the case of Able Danger originally, it was all what's called open source information, nothing that was classified, anything that was freely available in the Internet that you or I could manage to get to with a little bit of sleuthing. And so they launched into this effort to find out, first of all, if this whole idea of pulling together all sorts of information and then looking for links and patterns within it, whether it actually worked or not. So in the early days, Able Danger team was actually tasked to do a number of things. One day they would come in and they would say, I want you to look into small arms smuggling in Bosnia. See what you can find on that. Then the next day it was, see what you can find out about Chinese technology transfer. They also looked at drug cartels, for example. But, of course, as I said, once they started getting indications that this effort might actually work, they turned their attention to Al-Qaeda. And what they found was shocking and amazing, Peter.
And that is that they were able to track some tidbits of information about Mohammed Atta and some of the others who attacked our country on 9/11.
Yes, well, the first thing that happened is that the team was able to identify five different cells of Al-Qaeda-related terrorist activity. One was in Mauritania in Africa. And as we now know, that was the source of the bombings of the two embassies, United States embassies in East Africa. That was an Al-Qaeda operation.
Right.
They also uncovered cells in Hamburg, Germany, which, as we now know, Mohammed Atta was a member of that team there.
Right.
They found one in Malaysia. They found another one in Brooklyn, New York, which was tied to the Blind Sheikh, who had been involved in the original 1993 bombing of the World Trade Center.
Mm-hmm.
And significantly, as we'll see in a moment, they found a fifth one, which was headquartered in Aden in Yemen.
Mm-hmm.
So they found five different cells of activity. And they also identified, and this was more than a year before the 9/11 attacks in the United States, they identified four of the future hijackers by name, and they actually had a picture of Mohammed Atta as well. Now, obviously, before the attacks, they didn't understand the true significance. They didn't know these were the hijackers because the hijack had yet to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But after the attacks of 9/11, the team immediately said, oh, my God, Mohammed Atta, that's the guy whose picture we had on the wall for the last 2 years.
Did they get that picture at one of the strip clubs he went to?
No, they bought the picture from an information broker over the Internet. As
really?
I say, this was all what we call open source material. It's something that with a little sleuthing, if we knew what to look for and where to look, we would have been able to find. And that's an important thing to bear in mind, that in the early days, the first 2 years, everything that Able Danger did was completely open source, not using any classified material. Now, this is significant because of the laws that are involved here. As we know from the current scandal about warrantless wiretaps or whatever phrase you want to use to describe it, there are certain laws that apply regarding U.S. citizens or what are defined in the legislation as U.S. persons. So they always had to be very careful not to be gathering information about U.S. persons and certainly not keeping it for more than the 90 days that are allowed by law, and not mixing in initially classified information with open source information. So simply by culling an enormous amount of data, in fact 2.5 terabytes, which is, to give you a sense of it, it's equivalent to about 12% of all the holdings in the Library of Congress. It's an enormous amount of information. Very sophisticated computer programs would crunch all this information together, pictures, names, cell phone numbers, and so on and so forth, credit card receipts, and then the computer would look for links between these data sets and to see if patterns emerged. And if patterns emerged, they would come up to the fore, if you will. Now, the other half of Able Danger, of course, is no data is worth anything without trained analysts looking at it. And they had a very competent team of analysts, including the civilian contractor J.D. Smith, who has been doing this for years at a very high level, and also two trained military intelligence personnel, a Navy captain named Mark Philpott, who was the head of the Able Danger team, and a U.S. Army Reserve Lieutenant Colonel named Tony Schaefer.
Right. And Schaefer, I have read about Philpott a little bit, but Schaefer has been trying to get clearance and approval to testify about this. And in an unusual, at least from my perspective, an unusual development, Kurt Weldon, who is an arch conservative, a stalwart Republican, a longtime supporter of the Pentagon, has openly challenged the administration and Donald Rumsfeld in their efforts to prevent Tony Schaefer from testifying.
Well, you know, that's true. And you know the old saw about how politics make for strange bedfellows, Peter. And I can't feel a bit about it. But what interests me was the fact that the Pentagon, at the very highest level, all the way up to Secretary Rumsfeld, I later found out, had been engaged in a very active effort not only to muzzle and to gag Lieutenant Colonel Schaefer, who, in addition to being a 22-year Bronze Star veteran of the U.S. Army Reserve, was also a civilian employee of the defense before the attack. You think they would give him a medal. Instead, they're trying to ruin his life. What is this about? And then, as you said further, to see Representative Weldon, the vice chairman of the House Armed Services Committee and a longstanding supporter not only of the Pentagon but a self-avowed Bush supporter, essentially declaring war on the Pentagon and on the Bush administration. I said, boy, this is a heck of a story, and I've got to start paying attention to it.
And so where is the American media on this story? That's the question we'll ask as we continue with Rory O'Connor from MediaChannel.org. Log on to the website, and you can take a look at the limited coverage that Able Danger has received to date. And you may scratch your head and say, well, gosh, this is a big story. Americans deserve to know. Why is it that they just dish up more of the same in our media and allow us to be distracted by a Dick Cheney hunting accident or things like that? I'd like to hear your questions and comments. Join us at 831-899-5792 or 888-579-2540, toll free. We'll continue in just a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Tom Hartman,
chairman of Citicorp, Sanford Weill. He says, I think companies are realizing that we all have to be salesmen for America and not just sit back and rely on the government. I would point out to Mr. Weill, chairman of Citigroup, that his company is sending American jobs to other countries.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
Isn't this a great thing? We can use Indian labor for white-collar jobs while we're using Chinese labor for blue-collar jobs. I'm sorry, this just creeps me out.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436, 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
There are radio talk shows about sports, politics, money, sex, and religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters. every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540. I'm the host, Rona Renner, the mother of four, a new grandmother, a nurse, and parent educator. Listen and call in Childhood Matters every Sunday from 9 to 10 here on KRXA 540.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic. It's 4:46, and here's Metro Diane.
We do have one accident to tell you about this time around. It's in Salinas, Harrison Road at Russell Road. A couple vehicles involved, and they are blocking the northbound lane there. Also in Santa Cruz, be aware, Smith Grade at Warren Drive. Reports of fallen power lines laying on the roadway there. So PG&E has closed the roadway in order to clear the wires there. And also reports of a tree down in the roadway and possible mudslide. So it's Santa Cruz, Smith Grade at Warren Drive. Probably want to just avoid the area there. Checking Haas, Santa Cruz Mountains, Highway 17, both directions, stall and accident-free. This report is brought to you by Auto West Acura of Stevens Creek. In honor of President's Day, Auto West Acura of Stevens Creek has special financing on every new Acura through February 28th. Call 1-800-ACURA-USA or AutoWestAcura.com. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Diane. We'll check back next hour. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Our lines are open if you have a comment about Able Danger and American media's failure to cover it. 831-899-5792 from the Central Coast, or toll-free from Eureka or anywhere else, 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. We're talking with Rory O'Connor from MediaChannel.org, and in the first segment, he did a great job of explaining the details of Able Danger and how we got to where we are. And, Rory, I was just perusing the Media Channel website, and you have a page there where you list every electronic media episode that has covered Able Danger. Got to give credit to Lou Dobbs. He's an unsuspecting source for this kind of controversy. But the total is only 25 minutes across all media, and that is cumulative to date.
Yeah, the media, the mainstream media in particular, but frankly most of the media, with some exceptions in the blogosphere, have really been missing this story. And you're asking the right question. And I think that the answer for this is that this story, you know, we live in a highly partisan world now, Peter, to state the obvious. And that extends to the media as well, more and more every day. And this story does not fit your standard left-right frame. When I'm like talking to Kurt Weldon on a daily basis, as you said, this is an unlikely ally. But I have to commend him because he's been out in front on this. And it's a story that doesn't fit into the normal frame. Now, what I mean by that is the right wing would love for this story to become public because they think that this is the way that they're going to prove that Bill Clinton was a traitor. Okay, that's their frame. But the problem for them is that the Bush administration and the Bush Pentagon has been doing everything they can to cover this story up, prevent public hearings, muzzle Tony Schaefer, and keep anybody from talking. So they're scratching their head and saying, if this is the way to get Clinton, well, then why is Bush doing this? We don't know. We can't touch it. Similarly, the left wing looks at this. They have somewhat of a knee-jerk reaction. They go, oh, Kurt Weldon, he's a far-right supporter of the Pentagon. He's a Clinton hater from way back. This is just another attempt from the right wing to smear the Clintons, and we're not going to cover it. What both sides are missing, in my estimation, is the true story, which is that this is a story of a bipartisan cover-up on a very high level of stunning intelligence failures that date back at least three presidential administrations. That is to say, the present Bush one, the Clinton era, and George H.W. Bush as well.
So Rory, I believe the deal was put in place
by the 9/11 Commission, in fact, both the Democrats and the Republicans, to try and keep this entire story, not only of Able Danger, but of the many other pre-attack threat assessments that were delivered to both the Bush administration while they were in there and the Clinton administration, and that a political decision was made at a very high level that there is enough damage that could come out of this information to damage George W. Bush, William Clinton, and George H.W. Bush. So what we have is a cover-up of what I believe is one of the biggest stories of our time, which is, in fact, the origins of the 9/11 attacks.
And, Rory, I share your disdain for the work of the 9/11 Commission. I've compared it to a ditch-digging device, a machine called the Ditch Witch.
It's the Warren Commission of our time.
Well, it was set up to dig a ditch a mile long and only 6 inches deep.
Well,
and then they told us that this is the whole story.
One of the things that I have to point out is that the Able Danger team, first of all, they attempted to take this information that I was talking about to the FBI. On three separate occasions, they had meetings set up with the FBI. The FBI did not show up because of this old, you know, turf war, inability to connect the dots. However, subsequent to the attack, they also made valiant efforts to take it to the 9/11 Commission. Lieutenant Colonel Schaefer actually was in Afghanistan at the time and met in Bagram, Afghanistan, with Philip Zelikow, who was the chief staff member of the commission, and told him about this and urged him to look into it further. And the 9/11 Commission, if you read that report, you will find not one word about Able Danger in the entire report. They were told, the Able Danger team was told, this doesn't fit the story we're trying to tell. And that is why it's not in the 9/11 Commission report. And I also think that's the answer to why the media at large has not covered this story, because they think, they see a pre-existing story, this doesn't fit neatly into the usual frame, and therefore no one is touching it. Which is, you know, in a certain sense, to me as a journalist, is a good thing, because it's a wonderful story and very few people are covering it. But as a citizen, it's a bad story, and it's a bad thing because this information needs to get out. There were supposed to be hearings in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee on September 21st of last year. And the day before, the Pentagon muzzled and said none of these people can testify. And the muzzle and the gagging has been going on for 6 months. And it's really a handful of people, only Representatives Weldon and McKinney, as I mentioned, in terms of politics, Lou Dobbs and a handful of other people in the mainstream media, and then a number of bloggers, both on the right and the left, I must say, who have decided to go beyond their narrow partisan bounds in the search for the truth, and also to try to find out, if we don't understand what happened in the past, I don't see how we're going to prevent it from happening again. And frankly, Peter, that's my really big fear.
And the incident you cited of Zelikow going to Bagram to talk with Lieutenant Colonel Schaefer is, you know, it just underscores what David Ray Griffin has written in his sharp critique of the work of the 9/11 Commission, which he renamed the Kane-Zelikow Commission to reflect the role that Zelikow played. He, of course, is a colleague or crony, if you will, of Condoleezza Rice, and was very carefully wired into the White House. And when you couple his role with the resistance that the Bush administration had to the very formation of the 9/11 Commission, and then the subsequent resistance of permitting Condoleezza Rice to testify under oath and in public, and then, of course, the bizarre sequence where Bush and Cheney met with the commissioners, no notes were taken, they were not under oath, and there's no record of the conversation that took place there.
And of course,
those are just bizarre ways.
Let's not forget Henry Kissinger was originally appointed to head the commission.
Yeah. Now, so, Rory, let me ask you about another front. Do you believe that the resistance from the administration is somehow related to John Poindexter's ill-fated operation at the Pentagon, which was a data mining program called Total Information Awareness?
Well, now I'm going beyond what I know and what I've reported to surmise. So let me be clear about that. But let me tell you what my surmise is. I think that Able Danger is the tale of an incredibly large dog known as data mining. Unprecedented. I think that when the history of this time is written, it will be shown to be illegal, unconstitutional, and it will make what happened in the 1970s pale by comparison. I think that, as I said, the origins of Able Danger were pre-9/11. They tried it out on an experimental basis, and they found out that it worked. When the attack then happened, is my belief that all the gloves came off, and that a decision was made at the very highest level. You know, I don't care. It was a lightning rod from the Iran-Contra days, from having been convicted of lying to Congress. So when this became public, there was an outcry. Poindexter fell on his sword, resigned, and they did away with total information awareness. It's my belief that the way they did away with it is they changed the name, mm-hmm. and they took it in-house and made it a totally black secret operation. And
again,
I believe that's what's going on now.
Again, to be clear about speculation,
yes.
You mentioned the tip of an iceberg, and we had a whistleblower last week attempt to testify, but he had to sharply curtail his comments, Russell Tice.
Yes.
And what he told us was that there is a program that concerns him much more than the NSA spying program that has been revealed partially to
date.
That's
what I'm talking about.
And it could be the huge data mining program you're talking about, or it could be something else.
I believe that total information awareness is a reality today under a different name,
mm-hmm.
being conducted in an entirely secret fashion.
Rory, we've got 1 minute remaining, and I just want to add that we've spent 25 minutes talking about this, so that doubles the total coverage.
Well, one thing I wanted to say, Peter, is that if people are interested in getting involved in the details of this, and it is a detailed story, if they go to my blog, roryokana.org, I have been writing about this 14, 15, 16 times since September 21st. There's a huge cache of detailed information if people want to really get into it.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, I just want to mention that on mediachannel.org, as you say, we have an ongoing action right now that people can participate in to press the press to try and move the media to get more coverage of this very important story.
And thank you for your activism, Rory.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure. I'm a big fan of the show and love to come back another time.
We'll talk again soon. Rory O'Connor. Go to mediachannel.org and you can access the various links we just described. Coming up next, Melanie Sloan checks in from Washington where she's fighting ethical standards. Fighting for them. That's next on the Peter B. Collins Show. You already know that Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina in Pacific Grove serves the best Italian meals this side of Roma in an elegant, comfortable setting. What you may not know is that you can also enjoy Joe Rombi's incomparable cuisine in the comfort of your family room, dining room, or kitchen. Your only stop for such delicacies as portobello mushroom ravioli, spaghetti bolognese, crab cakes, and sand dabs is Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa in PG on 17th, just above Lighthouse. Drop by on your way home from work or any time. And if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa and La Mia Cucina. Joe Rombi has three rooms that can accommodate groups of any size from 16 to 60. For unforgettable meals in a private setting at your place or theirs, call 373-8116 or drop by La Piccola Casa, 17th Street between Lighthouse and Laurel in Pacific Grove.
Progressive Talk, Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. President Bush asked Congress today to think hard about the ports management contract flap. Look at the facts, he said, and consider what it'll look like to treat Arab friends different from British friends. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss.
Despite the administration's agreement to take another look at this deal, the political fallout is still intense. At a Senate hearing, the American chief operating officer of the Dubai company insisted there would be no security risk from his firm running port terminals in New York, New Orleans, and elsewhere. But he was sharply questioned by senators who doubt that and who also are upset that the United Arab Emirates, which owns the company, takes part in an economic boycott of Israel.
Muslim demonstrators in India shouted death to America, and they burned effigies of President Bush. That was in Bombay in advance of Mr. Bush's planned visit to New Delhi, as well as to Pakistan.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House. When last a U.S. president went to India and Pakistan 6 years ago, Bill Clinton called it the most dangerous place on earth, reflecting the dispute over Kashmir by two nuclear powers. But now President Bush sees dialogue and says the two nations have an historic opportunity to work toward lasting peace.
In the Jill Carroll Watch, Iraq's interior minister says he's working hard to get the freelance journalist set free from the terrorists who hold her, this on a day of sectarian violence in and around Baghdad.
There was a real surge in violence across Iraq, and at least six of the day's attacks hit religious targets.
first Sunni mosques in the morning and then Shiite mosques, apparently in retaliation, in the afternoon and early evening. Police also found 9 bullet-riddled bodies of Sunnis outside Baghdad and an assassinated Shiite cleric next to a Sunni mosque in the capital.
CBS News correspondent Kimberly Dozier. January was a big month for new home starts, probably because of the mild weather. Sales of existing homes, however, were down.
The housing market is certainly slowing. It's moving away from the record-breaking pace to now what we consider to be a very healthy, sustainable pace.
That's Lawrence Yoon, the senior economist at the National Association of Realtors. Big reason for the slowdown? Higher mortgage rates. It's part of what the Federal Reserve intended with its interest rate hikes. New York's Governor George Pataki is still in a hospital, recovering from a ruptured appendix of 2 weeks ago.
We cannot speculate exactly how long his stay will be, but we see definite signs of improvement, and we will make that decision when it's appropriate.
Dr. Stephen Amery at New York Presbyterian Hospital. The Stones will be rolling back into China, but there are special rules. There are some songs the Rolling Stones may not perform by order of the Minister of Culture. Brown Sugar, for one. Beast of Burden, Honky Tonk Woman, and Let's Spend the Night Together are verboten in China. The Stones' debut will be in Shanghai, April 8th. On Wall Street, the Dow lost 104 points, NASDAQ off nearly 26. This is CBS News.
My name's Belinda, and today's my fifth day with Prilosec OTC. My husband and I used to love to travel until frequent heartburn pulled me off the road. But Prilosec OTC's made all the difference, and it started to work the first day. Now we're headed for Vegas. Imagine zero heartburn for 24 hours with one pill a day. It's possible with Prilosec OTC. It's day 5 for me. What day are you on?
Use as directed for 14 days for treating frequent heartburn, not for immediate relief.
I am a wife. I am a mother. I am a 3-time Wimbledon champion. And whether you're an active mom or a pro athlete, we all face the same threat to our lives and health, osteoporosis. That's why I take CitraCal calcium supplements, because bone loss and osteoporosis are not going to slow me down. I'm Chris Evert. I'm 51, and I am strong.
Tell us about a strong woman you know at StandStrong.com. CitraCal calcium. Stand strong.
Warriors in the military know the key to their survival is as much mental as physical. CBS News correspondent Lou Miliano on the mental challenges after the fighting.
This Pentagon study included nearly 250,000 returning vets from Iraq, more than a third receiving psychological counseling. But Fordham University trauma specialist Dr. Annie Kalajian says wait for all the other boots to drop, eventually revealing 75% affected.
According to our research, in a war situation, they cause it, witness it, and it's very, very expected.
Execs of the National Mental Health Association call this a wake-up call in terms of the mental health needs of returning vets. Lou Miliano, CBS News.
May not work for everyone, but there is a new patch approved for people who are all bummed out. It's a skin patch with a drug already used to treat Parkinson's, and the FDA says MSAM works well with adults. Kids should not take it. Experts say it might make them worse, even suicidal. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. Give someone special to you the gift that will be remembered for years to come. Name a star after them. The Star Registry will name a star after anyone on your gift list for $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com. It's the perfect gift for birthdays, weddings, and just about any occasion. Give the ultimate gift. Call the Star Registry at 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com. We proudly support the Starlight Starbright Children's Foundation.
If you have allergies, discover new Allivert Citrus Burst. The instant it touches your tongue, it bursts into action. And you know allergy relief is on its way. New Allivert Citrus Burst is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a great-tasting, quick-dissolving tablet. Get the allergy relief you need to keep going. Try new quick-dissolving Allivert Citrus Burst. Experience the relief. Use as directed.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, Fat Tuesday edition. We continue to dedicate our broadcast today to the city and people of New Orleans. They haven't lost their mojo. They still know how to party.
I've been in the right place.
it must have been the wrong time. I'd have said the right thing, but it must have used the wrong line.
That's Dr. John, a.k.a. Mac Rabenek, the Night Tripper.
Hit us in a bad place.
I've interviewed that man four different times, and every time he was so loaded, I could barely comprehend what he had to say. And he always said, yeah, I've been to the dentist. Yeah, right. Coming up, we open up the switchboard for the free speech zone to hear your comments on any issue from any viewpoint. We've had a power-packed lineup of guests today, and you're welcome to comment on the port deal, Michael Ratner's remarks about detainees, and the need to impeach the President of the United States. We talked about the hearings in Sacramento tomorrow to certify voting machines, but not Diebold, because they took care of that in the back room. And Rory O'Connor talked to us about the need for more media coverage of Project Able Danger. Your calls and comments are welcome after our first segment, 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast. It's a local call. Or toll-free from anywhere else at 1-888-579-2540. And every week about this time, we check in with Melanie Sloan, who's fighting corruption in Washington, Executive Director of CRU, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Hello, Melanie.
Hi, Peter.
How's it going today?
Oh, good. How about with you?
Things are pretty good out here, I have to say. There are too many things to talk about, and you've been very busy again this week. Tell us a little bit about the new ethics complaint that you have prepared, but of course you can't file it because only a member of the House can refer an ethics complaint to the House Ethics Committee. But your target this week is Republican Congressman from Texas, Sam Johnson. What did he do to deserve this?
Sam Johnson did something particularly egregious. He's a member of the House Ways and Means Committee, which is one of the most powerful committees in the House, and it is the committee with oversight over the Internal Revenue Service. He used his position with oversight over the IRS to ask the IRS to go and audit an organization in Texas. The organization is called Texans for Public Justice, and it's a really small but terrific organization out of Texas, and Texans for Public Justice's claim to fame is that they were the ones who first put together the case against Tom DeLay. And Tom DeLay, as your listeners no doubt remember, had this PAC called Texans for Republican Majority. And that's the PAC that was responsible, that Tom DeLay funneled money through to redistrict the state of Texas, to gerrymander the district.
In the middle of the cycle, right. Mm-hmm.
That's right. And it is the conduct for which he has been indicted and will eventually stand trial, Tom DeLay will. Well, Tom DeLay is never one to let his political enemies go, and Sam Johnson filed an IRS complaint against Texans for Public Justice because it was their complaint that got Ronnie Earl to do the investigation. Ronnie Earl is the Travis County District Attorney.
Right.
And so in this complaint, Sam Johnson says, you know, here's this organization, you IRS need to audit it, and my complaint is in part based on a letter from a lawyer that I got. And a letter from a lawyer who knows all about tax-exempt organizations. Well, it turns out this lawyer is a close ally of Tom DeLay's. And the lawyer sent a letter to Representative Johnson saying that you, as a Republican member from Texas, ought to be, and with the only Republican member from Texas who's on the House Ways and Means Committee with oversight over the IRS, you should do something about this because Texans for Public Justice and Ronnie Earl have been out to get Tom DeLay, and so you know, you have the opportunity to do something. So here they are, the letter is blatantly political, saying, you know, this has gone on in Texas, you got to go after the people who've gone after Majority Leader Tom DeLay. Representative Johnson has been a huge supporter of Tom DeLay's. So what does he do? He gets out his pen and he sends a letter over to the IRS and he says, and I want you to follow up with me directly. And he has his top tax policy advisor call the IRS and fax over some information a mere 2 weeks later. This is all in the summer of 2004. And lo and behold, the IRS does, in fact, audit Texans for Public Justice. And Texans for Public Justice is found, you know, months later to have done nothing wrong, over a year later, actually, that they've done nothing wrong, and they're eventually clean, given a clean bill of health after they go through the expense of an audit. And so the Representative Johnson basically completely politicized the IRS, something we're seeing more and more of now under the Bush administration. They've gone after a church in Pasadena, California, a liberal church. They've gone after the NAACP. And now they're blatantly going after Texans for Public Justice. And the reason we filed an ethics, or the reason we prepared an ethics complaint, because you're right, we can't file it, is because there are very specific federal laws and House rules about misusing executive branch resources. And members of Congress aren't allowed to do this.
And Melanie, if my memory has not completely gone on me, Tom DeLay was chastised by the Ethics Committee in one of the last times it actually functioned for using customs airplanes to try to track down the Texas legislators who had left the state trying to deny a quorum to the Republicans who were attempting to jam through the gerrymandering legislation that is at the center of this whole dispute.
You're exactly right, Peter. Tom DeLay was ultimately admonished by the House Ethics Committee for misusing the Federal Aviation Administration. And I am able to cite in our complaint what the committee cited at the time when they admonished Tom DeLay. So the committee has said this is not okay. There's both federal law, as I said, and House rules that prohibit it. And yet Sam Johnson, you know, goes and blithely does this, and it's just yet more and more of this effort to protect DeLay. And it's just that DeLay anything goes attitude.
This is amazing. Now, let's talk for a minute here about the problems with the Ethics Committee. You and I have discussed this on many occasions. Both the House and Senate Ethics Committees are essentially locked down and not taking any action on behalf of any complaints that could come in. Do you think you can find a sitting member of the House to bring this ethics complaint to the Ethics Committee and try to break that logjam?
You know, sadly, probably not. But that didn't stop us from sending an email to all 434 other members other than Sam Johnson today asking for somebody to file a complaint. We even sent one to Tom DeLay's office.
You've got a great sense of humor, Melanie. You really do. And I don't know if the pesticide in chief does. I don't know if Tom DeLay will share that.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm expecting that my group will be the next one audited.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, be prepared for that. And
we
you do, if you do get audited, we'll hold a fundraising marathon for you and help you pay for it, okay?
Well, thanks. I appreciate that.
Now let's talk about Rick Santorum, senator from Pennsylvania, arch-conservative Republican, up for re-election this year. And you have reported that he got a sweetheart deal on a home mortgage. Explain this.
Yes. Rick Santorum got a loan, a mortgage, from a company called the Philadelphia Trust. The Philadelphia Trust is a private bank, and it only deals with clients, with rich clients, clients who have over $250,000 of assets at the bank. So you have to not only be rich, you have to have a portfolio at the bank of over $250,000. And then they make loans only to, and mortgages included in those loans, only to their own clients.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Rick Santorum is not a wealthy man. He's been quoted as saying he often lives, he lives paycheck to paycheck, and he doesn't have an account at the Philadelphia Trust. But in any event, the Philadelphia Trust made him a bank loan in direct conflict with their own rules. And it just so happens that the bank's chief executive is a major campaign contributor of Rick Santorum's, and other people at the bank have also made contributions. But the real issue here is that Rick Santorum got this loan that that other people couldn't get. Now, it would be one thing if Rick Santorum had an account at the bank and was, you know, wealthy enough and a normal bank client, it would be no big deal. But because he is not a regular bank client, and he got this basically a special deal, he got special treatment, an offer other people couldn't get, and that violates the Senate gift rules. The gift rules say that first they include loans as gifts, bank loans as gifts, and then the rules say you can only get something that's widely available, that's available to everybody else in your position. You can't get some kind of special treatment.
Now, in addition to the terms that he failed to meet, were the terms of the loan more favorable than those being issued to people who did qualify for the bank's terms?
As far as I know, they weren't more favorable. But the issue still is that he was very easily able to get a loan, which he might not have otherwise even qualified for. Rick Santorum isn't a wealthy man, and he gets his $500,000 loan for a mortgage in Virginia. But the issue for the Senate Ethics Committee will be, did did Rick Santorum get a loan that other people couldn't get? Mm-hmm. Now, he's tried to say, well, this is no different than Bob Casey, who's running against him for Senate in Pennsylvania, who got a loan from a commercial bank in Pennsylvania, because that bank also had some officers with that bank had made campaign contributions to Casey. But the difference is that Casey, first of all, isn't subject to Senate gift rules, also Casey got a loan that was widely available, that was available to anybody. Mm-hmm. He didn't get some special treatment like Rick Santorum did. And I think you're going to be seeing in the next few weeks even more issues coming out about Rick Santorum that we're going to be talking about.
Well, we'll watch this space carefully. Thank you, Melanie.
My pleasure as always, Peter.
Melanie Sloan, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Visit their website, Citizens for Ethics, F-O-R, citizensforethics.org. The Free Speech Zone is coming next right after a break, so I want to hear your comments. Any viewpoint on any issue in the news, bring them on. 831-899-5792 for the Central Coast, or toll free at 888-579-2540. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. Remember, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a...
Trying to figure out how you'll be able to keep your home. Would you like to speak to a highly qualified loan agent who does not charge for advice? Hi, I'm John Sullivan of Executive Financial Services in Salinas. We can advise you about negotiating with your lender, and believe me, most lenders would rather negotiate with you than own your home. We can advise you about the foreclosure process and bankruptcy filings. If you need us, you can call us 7 days a week between 10 and 7 at 443-7277. We personally answer the phone and don't pre-screen our calls. We're here to give you advice. We can give you your options 5 minutes after reviewing your credit report. We might be able to help you. We might not be able to help you. But if you never call us, you'll never know. That's 443-7277. For a five-minute solution. Executive Financial Services at 443-7277.
I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you interesting topics and personalities from the world of food, wine, and fun. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, winemakers, restaurateurs, famous chefs, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove. Stop by today for all your quality beverage needs and ask them about their single malt scotch tasting on March 22nd. And tell them the Tasty Planet sent you.
It covers traffic, and we've got Metro Diane on the case.
Well, it's pretty quiet out there. The earlier accident in Salinas has cleared up. Still have the fallen power lines in Santa Cruz at Smith Grade at Warren Drive. Power lines laying on the roadway there, and also other ones that are hanging very low down to the roadway. So PG&E is on the scene and has closed the roadway in order to clear the wires. CHP also on scene reports that there is a tree down in the roadway and possible mudslide throughout the area as well. So probably best just to try and avoid it. It's Santa Cruz, Smith Grade at Warren Drive. Checking the Santa Cruz Mountains, Highway 17, both directions. Stalling accident free. This report is brought to you by Auto West Acura of Stevens Creek. In honor of President's Day, Auto West Acura of Stevens Creek has special financing on every new Acura through February 28th. Call 1-800-ACURA-USA or AutoWestAcura.com. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Dr. Mike Newcomb tonight at 10 on KRXA.
I would not lie. No, I would not lie. No, I would not lie. Down in Monterey.
A beautiful song about Monterey, a beautiful city on the coast of California. Our backyard here at KRXA. Eric Burdon and the Animals from about 1969, a song inspired by the Monterey Pop Festival. All right, we're into the free speech zone, and I would not lie down in Monterey. You can call us from Monterey at 899-5792. That's 831-899-5792. If you're in Eureka or anywhere else listening online or however you do it, we don't care. Call us at 1-888-579-2540. Toll free, 888-579-2540. We take calls from any viewpoint on any subject. You will not be screened out, even if you're Rush Limbaugh on OxyContin. Well, you could be Rush Limbaugh, but if you're on OxyContin, we might screen you out. Josh in Salinas, thanks for holding on. You're up first here on the PBC Free Speech Zone today.
Hi, Peter. I'm fascinated by the topic of corruption in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Good choice, by the way. A couple of weeks ago, I was the coordinator for a Move On petition drive, moveon.org.
Sure.
We petitioned in front of Longs on East Laurel and Salinas. There were eight of us. Most of the people were really only doing it for half an hour, 45 minutes. We got 80 petition signatures, which is phenomenal.
And the petitions read?
I don't have the text with me.
No, just paraphrase.
Simply calling on Congress to enact meaningful reform mm-hmm. to stop corruption. And this was addressed to our member of the House of Representatives, Mr. Farr.
Yeah.
But people are practically grabbing their clipboards out of our hands. They were really excited about it. You don't ever get 100% of the people. We got, I think, 50% of the people we asked, which is phenomenal. If you've ever done a petition drive.
Oh, yeah. I've tried to get signatures outside the post office or drugstores, supermarkets, and there you have to be girded for a high level of rejection. There are a lot of people who just walk on by. There are people who tell you they're not registered, they're registered somewhere else, and all kinds of stories. But, yeah, you have to be pretty dedicated to make it all work.
And people, yeah. And this was different. People were saying they were disgusted. In front of the post office, I was just killing some time before I delivered the petitions to Representative Farr's office. A woman told me, you know, I voted Republican all my life, but I'm done with them. I'm voting Democrat now because I can't stand this corruption.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about a spring chicken either. This lady had difficulty walking. It was all gray hair. She was a grandma.
Yeah. Well, and Josh, I'm not picking on Sam Farr or any other incumbent member of the Democratic Party, but I believe that this is an issue that is as significant as the bungled war in Iraq, and the Democrats need to have a unified and coherent position. And what we see them doing is too much business as usual, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I like
Senator, we have Senator Feinstein sponsoring legislation that would clean up the earmark process a little, but it wouldn't end it. And certainly, you know, sunshine is a great disinfectant. You've heard that line too many times. What Feinstein is proposing would require more disclosure about earmarks, would require people to acknowledge their responsibility for inserting them, and it would provide a process by which they could be blocked and require a 60-vote override by the Senate for such an earmark to be sustained. But, you know, we got to look at the whole process from start to finish, and it begins with the cost of election campaigns and the amount of money that the average senator or House member has to raise just to stay in the game.
Absolutely, and I think it would be a really good idea. You know, sometimes we sit there and think, well, what should be the next constitutional amendment? We need a constitutional amendment to say, hey, yeah, every person gets one vote, but we need to stop the unlimited flow of cash into our elections. And no matter what legislation we make, in the Constitution or anywhere, there will always be some kind of sneak away around. But we can do a lot better than we've done now. It's open city.
Yeah.
And the idea that one person can contribute $100 million to influence an election, and the other someone else can contribute 50 cents, and these two people both have equal rights, that's not really equal.
Well, I agree, and based on my study, you know, the Supreme Court decision was Buckley versus Vallejo, V-A-L-E-O, not the city of Vallejo, and it essentially equated First Amendment rights with cash. And so the only way around it, the only way to limit wealthy individuals from pumping unlimited amounts into their campaigns is to have publicly financed campaigns and say it doesn't matter how rich you are, you can't put any of your money into your campaign, and this is going to be conducted fairly, and each candidate will have the same amount of money to spend and the same level playing field to conduct a campaign from.
Which is a very good system. But as our laws exist now, the ultra-wealthy candidate can still opt out and say, well, I'd rather use my own money, thank you.
Right, and that we have to close that loophole.
Because right. Depended on the Supreme Court a lot, but no, legislation should come from our legislative bodies, and we need a constitutional amendment for this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you're probably right. And you want to get the ball rolling because you've collected a lot of signatures already.
80, man, 80. I'm there.
A constitutional amendment is a very daunting task.
And we have a very corrupt government. When you hear about Duke Cunningham driving his Rolls Royce to work in Congress from the yacht he lived on in the Potomac.
Josh, it's clear you know way too much. You've been paying attention. Thanks for your call today.
Thanks a lot.
831-899-5792. We're knee-deep in the free speech zone, and I want to hear from you. No, not her. I want to hear from you. You can also call me from Eureka or elsewhere, toll-free at 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. More of your calls and comments coming up next, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
You already know that Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina in Pacific Grove serves the best Italian meals this side of Roma in an elegant, comfortable setting. What you may not know is that you can also enjoy Joe Rombi's incomparable cuisine in the comfort of your family room, dining room, or kitchen. Your only stop for such delicacies as portobello mushroom ravioli, spaghetti bolognese, crab cakes, and sand dabs is Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa in PG on 17th, just above Lighthouse. Drop by on your way home from work or any time. And if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa and La Mia Cucina. Joe Rombi has three rooms that can accommodate groups of any size from 16 to 60. For unforgettable meals in a private setting at your place or theirs, call 373-8116 or drop by La Piccola Casa, 17th Street between Lighthouse and Laurel in Pacific Grove.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436. 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Hello, I'm Jose Mendez.
And I'm Ren Bradley. Please join us on our new show,
Labor Matters,
on Sunday starting March 5th from 1 to 2 p.m.
We'll be talking about issues of importance to the labor movement and raising awareness of the local struggles of the working men and women of our community.
And, as time permits, state and national issues.
Don't give up the fight.
Oh, yeah. The Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. Got a break in the rains. Don't know how long that'll last. We're hunkered down for a stormy week along the coastline of California. We're in the free speech zone at 533. Your calls are welcome. Any viewpoint on any issue. Central Coast, there's a line open at 831-899-5792. Eureka, you've got a line available toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. Sometimes I become aware that I roll that number off so quickly that it might be hard for you to punch it into your cell phone with your thumb. I know how challenging that can be. Want me to say it again? 1-888-579-2540. Go ahead and save it under Peter B. in your fancy cell phone device. You know what I mean, in the memory. Two items and then back to your calls. We mentioned this earlier, but it's worth repeating. Tomorrow at 10 a.m., Secretary of State Bruce McPherson will hold a certification hearing for electronic voting machines other than Diebold, because he already certified those himself. And we're not, we don't need to know about that. And if that tees you off or even pisses you off, well, you might want to join the protest that will begin at 9 a.m. outside the Secretary of State building. That's at 11 and O Streets in Sacramento. Pretty easy to find. It's catty-corner to the state capitol, and it's a nice fancy building at 11th and O Streets. The certification hearing itself starts at 10 a.m. in the first floor auditorium in the Secretary of State's building at 11th and O. And if you're in any way able to get your buns over to Sacramento and participate, I will be much obliged. A new poll from the Field Poll shows that Californians are fed up with George W. Bush. More than half of all Californians, 56%, disapprove of his performance as president, while just 36% approve. Dick Cheney, interestingly, has a 53-38 positive-to-negative ratio. That's within the margin of error. It's roughly equivalent to Bush. But even worse are the Bush administration's approval ratings with regard to the war in Iraq. 65% of Californians surveyed oppose the president's handling of the war. Only 30% approve. And if you do the math, only 5% had no opinion about that question. That's quite significant. And there's the what's called a right track, wrong track question that is used as a barometer of the general attitudes of respondents to these polls. More than half of the state's residents say they believe the state and the country are heading in the wrong direction under Bush. Love to hear your thoughts, and Republicans are welcome to participate, so give me a call. Dennis in King City, you're next here. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Hey, Peter B., great show the last 2 days.
Why, thank you.
I got three quickies here.
Okay.
I called Feinstein, Boxer, and Farr's office. I left the same comment, and it's a little touchy, but I thought it was worth saying. I wanted them both to remember that Great Britain and the United States worship the same God. This Arab nation does not. And I think it should raise a red flag to question their long-term loyalties. Now, there's more to it than that, but I
Dennis, let's just parse this one. I think that that is the wrong tack to take. I do not deny you that it's a, you know, it's an analysis that is available to you. All right.
Mm-hmm.
But really, what difference does it make whether it's the Church of England or you know, the Muslim faith that is guiding these business people? To me, the biggest distinction between the current owners of these port management companies, P&O, is a private British company, or at least it's not part of the government. It might be publicly held, you know, shares available to the public. But it's not something that is wholly owned by the government of Great Britain or any other government. The situation in Dubai is different.
Yeah.
Because Dubai Ports World is wholly owned by the government, and the government is dominated by the family of the emir. And so this is not something that is subject to public inspection. And as we know, the nation of Dubai is a nation state which is part of the UAE, the United Arab Emirates, and they are known for the freewheeling nature of their limited government, meaning that you can ship stuff through there. It was the favorite transshipment point for AQ Khan and the Pakistani nuclear program as they tried to share their knowledge and their equipment and technology with North Korea, with Iran, with Libya, and with perhaps other countries that we don't know about. Also, the banking system there is so loosey-goosey that I believe it's preferred to Switzerland now as a place where you can go with a transaction that is not reportable or investigatable by various authorities around the world. So, honestly, Dennis, I don't share your approach to parse this along religious lines.
Well, I agree with everything you said. I'm just saying that's another reason why you should look at this close, because Al-Qaeda and the rest of them do not worship Christ like Great Britain or America does. They have a different philosophy on their word and everything else. But that's not the most important thing. I just brought that up because it was something that hit me.
Okay. It's a non-starter with me. I'll just say that. Go ahead.
Okay. The second one, I don't know if you saw our great governor of California meet the press this weekend. Unions, I would not take it from unions in Indian casinos. Now, if my memory's right, I thought he said he wouldn't take any money from any special interests.
Well, you know, he wasn't under oath on the Jay Leno Tonight Show.
Well, this was Meet the Press.
I know, but
I see what you're saying.
His
yeah.
original statement about not needing to take any campaign money was made when he announced for the recall on the Tonight Show.
One of the times.
Yes.
He said it several times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, there's no question, number one, that Schwarzenegger was at minimum misleading the public last November.
Yeah, yeah. One quickie last thing.
All right.
Last Thursday, you had a call from, I think, a lady named Carol from Santa Cruz
mm-hmm.
that said she wasn't talking to her conservative friends anymore.
Yeah.
I was really glad to hear someone say that because I took that pledge about 3 years ago, and I have never been sorry. I can't stand talking to anybody that gets their talking points from Rush or the Fox Network, and I just believe that that's the way to do it. Stay away from those people. You'll never convince them otherwise until they start thinking for themselves. And anyway,
well, I certainly understand it, and as I explained, I've confronted this in my own life, but it's difficult because I don't like politics to be polarizing. I don't like things to, you know, keep us apart so we don't even talk. And I'm the kind of cocky, arrogant SOB who believes I'm right, and I want the opportunity to persuade others to join me in my political correctness.
Well, believe me, I'm as cocky as you are, and I work on it, and I found when they believe what they hear without doing any research, I listen to Rush, I listen to you, I read several papers, magazines, and I make my mind after a while. And you cannot convince these guys what they hear from Kennedy and the rest of these guys is the truth.
Yeah.
It's a lost cause, I'm telling you.
Okay. Thank you, Dennis. Good to hear from you.
Okay.
All right. Billy in Capitola, you're next. Welcome to the PBC show, Billy.
They're not Christians.
Well, and this is not a Christian nation. I'm sorry. I don't buy Dennis's line there one bit.
No, I know. You know, it's so insulting when Bush tries to suggest that the British are like the UAE, or like anyone else, first of all. Britons are number one with us, And you know what? I'm not aware. Did Britain was Britain boycotting Israel?
I don't think so.
Was UAE?
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, why would we even consider giving them that kind of business until they get rid of those kinds of deals?
Well, first of all, it shouldn't be based on religious or cultural issues in my book. I do think that what we're looking at here is that, number one, we have regrets, or at least some remorse, about selling control of our port management, and I like to separate that from security. We're talking about the derricks, the crates, the cranes, the longshoremen, the containers, all of the mechanical operations of the port. And there are security issues there, but these companies are not first and foremost responsible for the security issues. But to me, the matter is whether, A, we permit foreign ownership of any of these kinds of operations as an issue of our domestic security, and number two, that Britain, even though I consider them misguided, has been a staunch ally of the United States in our misguided war in Iraq. And so it is easier for me to rationalize working with a British company than it is with a government-owned entity from a nation state with these loosey-goosey banking rules that permit money laundering by and for Al-Qaeda, and it has been used as a banking center for Al-Qaeda in the past, and the very basic fact that two of the 9/11 hijackers came from the UAE. That, to me, sets a standard that, you know, says we ought to scrutinize this very carefully, and I personally can't countenance a further approval for Dubai Ports World.
I'm suggesting something else, that we take advantage of this moment to make this statement to all the Arabs that if they're not willing to do business with Israel, we're not going to do business of this sort with them. The least we expect out of somebody who wants to be a major business partner with this country is that they don't act like racist nut bars and take our best allies and treat them this way.
Well, we run into problems when we try to establish too many levels of linkage, and to expect an Arab nation to go against the grain and the regional tide and embrace our support of Israel, it's pretty far-fetched, Billy.
You know, now is the time to do the far-fetched, the improbable, and to make demands on people, because this really isn't us or them.
All right,
maybe
they
more like them than they do us.
Then let me take your argument and turn it back to you. Would you support this deal with the Dubai government if they embraced our positions toward Israel?
I'd consider it then.
I don't think it would.
I think we should use now.
But it doesn't resolve the issues about money laundering or their involvement with Al Qaeda in the past.
Boy, are you absolutely right about that.
Okay, Billy.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot. More of your calls coming up next. Grab a line, 831-899-5792, or toll free, 888-579-2540. I'm that cocky SOB, Peter B. Collins. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove has the finest selection of fresh local fruits, veggies, and meats. The Grove Market is also your first stop for delicious artisanal breads and other baked goods, and boasts an outstanding selection of Monterey wines. For competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey, shop at the Grove Market, Monday through Saturday, 8 to 7, 9 to 6 on Sundays, in downtown Pacific Grove. 242 Forest, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
There are radio talk shows about sports, politics, money, sex, and religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters, every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540. I'm the host, Rona Renner, the mother of four, a new grandmother, a nurse, and parent educator. Listen and call in Childhood Matters every Sunday from 9 to 10 here on KRXA 540.
Are you looking for money for college? Every year, billions of dollars in financial aid go unclaimed because parents just don't know how to properly access those funds. Mistakes are made in filling out applications. Deadlines are overlooked. And ultimately, it's the student who loses out on desperately needed funds. R.J. Moyer, president of AboutCollegeFunding.com, offers solutions to your financial aid dilemma.
If you're the parent of a college-bound high school junior or senior, critical deadlines are rapidly approaching, and we do specialize in late-stage college funding planning. Regardless of your income, assets, or home equity, I can help you send your child to the college of his or her choice without spending your life savings. But you must take action now.
AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. Call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic one more time. It's 548, and here's Metro Diane.
Well, we have an accident in Santa Cruz. It's Francis 40 Drive at Mill Road. An SUV went off the roadway there and actually landed in a ditch. So CHP en route to clear that one out. And Santa Cruz County Highway 152 at Casterly Road, reports of a stalled vehicle there. It's a stalled vehicle blocking one of the lanes, so definitely keep your eyes open for that. It might slow things down a bit. Checking Highway 17, both directions through the Santa Cruz Mountains, dull and accident-free. This report is brought to you by Sullivan Learning Center. Sullivan Learning Center, learning feels good. Call 1-800-EDUCATE today. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Diane. And we've made some changes late night. Dr. Mike Newcomb now on the air from 10 to midnight on KRXA. And you get the Peter B. replay midnight to 3. Check it out tonight on KRXA 540. You got the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 5:49, almost 5:50 now. We're in the home stretch here in the free speech zone. And I've got room for one or two more callers, so don't be shy. Step on forward. Dial your phone if you're on the Central Coast, 831-899-5792. North Coast or elsewhere, it's toll-free, 1-888-579-2540. You can always drop me an email, peter@krxa540.com. Yes, we're on the road to hell paved with good intentions and your phone calls. Jake from Arcata, you're next, and welcome.
Hey, Peter, how's it going?
Pretty good today, you?
Oh, pretty good. In fact, real good. I was calling about that issue that has the Republican Party apologists in a panic today. The CBS poll that has Bush's approval rating at a mere 34% and Dick Cheney at 18%. I didn't even know it was possible to go below 20% in a political poll.
So, well, if anybody deserves it, it's Dick.
Oh, it is. Cheney. Yeah, after shooting his friend in the face with a shotgun while he was drunk and then having the Secret Service cover for him, yeah, I think he deserves an 18% rating. I don't even know how it's that high, frankly.
Don't know that he was drunk. He says he had one beer.
Yeah, right. Oh, hey, actually, you know, there's a story. I don't know if you heard about this. Capitol Hill Blue, Doug Thompson, was he on the show? I don't know if you had him on yet.
We have read his work, and we've contacted him in the past. I don't believe we've ever succeeded in getting him on the air. He's the one who's written the breathtaking stories about Bush's temper tantrums, and in particular, the one reported last fall where he told a member of Congress not to talk to him about the GD Constitution because it's just a GD piece of paper.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I would hope you could get Doug Thompson on. He's got a new story. It's about Cheney. And apparently there was one of the Secret Service agents filed a report saying that the entire hunting party had a great deal to drink, and Cheney was clearly inebriated during the incident. But the report was destroyed upon orders of the White House.
Really?
Yeah, there's some very interesting stuff coming out about Cheney's little cover-up. So I would hope people would go check out Capitol Hill Blue. You can just, you know, check it out on Google.
I sure will. Thanks for the tip.
Hey, no problem. So just to go on about this approval rating of 34% for Bush, I mean, you have the right-wingers on Fox and Limbaugh and all the other Oxycontin smokers talking about how CBS can't do a legitimate poll. Well, you know, you look at all the polls, like the field poll, for instance, it's about right. Bush is somewhere in the 30s, Cheney's around 20 or even lower. I'd say it's time to impeach these guys. I don't know why any Democratic politician, no matter how conservative they are, would be afraid of these guys.
Well, let me take your point here. And first of all, there is a building sentiment for impeachment. We talked earlier today about this powerful new little book. It's not a booklet, but it's a small paperback published by the Center for Constitutional Rights, and it offers up 4 articles of impeachment. And Lewis H. Lapham, the editor of Harper's, has penned his monthly commentary, and he is now in support of impeachment. And as you know, I support it in concept, and I support ImpeachPact.org's approach, which is we've got to change the Congress in order to propel impeachment forward. You know, clearly the issues are there, the case is there. What we're up against is one-party rule. And if people learn anything from the excesses of the Bush administration, it is we can never let one party, whether it's Democrat or Republican, control all 3 branches of government.
That's right. We need to kick the Republicans out. That's the only answer, because you're right. If the Republicans are there, Bush is going to be there for another 3 years, and who knows what's going to happen then.
Jake, thanks a lot. Jim and Eureka, you're next on the Peter B. Collins Show. Go ahead. You're on the air, Jim.
Yes, Peter, thank you. First-time caller. Love your program. We need more voice like you. We need to get it all the time up here. We're gapped for like 2 or 3 hours listening to Dr. Laura and
Dr. Laura, is she still on radio?
Oh, yeah, and Paul Harvey. And anyway, that's not what I called in, but thank you for your show. When this guy called a little bit ago about Dubai doing trade with Israel, and we should not deal with Dubai because of Israel, so, you know, to me, this is the main problem that we're going to have in the Middle East, is we've got 3 different religions with different books, and each religion is using the book to claim that that's their land.
Well, you're certainly correct, and not only that, but to Billy's point, one of the reasons the United States is in such a pickle and is perceived as negatively as it is by many Muslim believers in the Middle East is that they view us as unfairly allied with Israel, and that we tilt in favor of Israel, even when Israel crosses critical lines in terms of the occupation and, you know, more recently, this preemptive abuse of withholding tax payments that are due to the Palestinian Authority, money that has been paid by Palestinians and collected by Israel, and Israel has unilaterally decided not to continue parsing that money out to the Palestinian Authority. This is before Hamas has taken an active role in government and before they've had a chance to do anything that would offend Israel. And so I think that that is another one of these initiatives that plays badly against the U.S. interests in Islamic countries.
Well, you know, I still think that, like, you know, when these, you're going to have to get some of these people to change their religion to get along there. You know, because they each say that they own that land.
How are we going to do that? Are we going to send missionaries and convert them all?
Well, yeah, we tried the Crusades once, didn't we?
Yeah.
I don't have an answer to the problem, other than, like, when I'm emperor of the world, I'm going to make it so nobody can get married and have children unless they're of a different religion and race.
Well, Jim, how about a tolerance thing?
Yeah.
How about an ecumenical approach where we say, you know, Rodney King style, why can't we just get along? Because you can believe what your book says, and you over here can believe what your book says, but at the end of the day, we have to put the book down and deal with one another as human beings who occupy the planet today.
Well, I play music. I'll get me a plane ticket to the Middle East, and I'll get them all to sing Kumbaya. How's that?
Okay, all right, Jim. Good to have
Thanks, Peter.
Good to have you listening, and thanks for the call today. Well, some unusual thoughts from our listeners here this afternoon, but every viewpoint is welcome, and I know I asked for it. Coming up on the show tomorrow, investigative reporter Jason Leopold is going to join us. At least two issues we'll talk about are the Enron trial underway in Texas these days. I, of course, am a bitter former Enron shareholder, and I don't know if I'll ever get over it. Jason Leopold has also written very intelligently and with great sources on the prosecution of Scooter Libby, the former chief of staff to Vice President Cheney, the guy with the 18% approval rating. And so Jason will be with us in our first hour tomorrow. And in the last hour, Larissa Alexandrovna from Raw Story will be with us. She has new information on the Italian connection that brought us the false rumors about Iraq trying to get yellowcake uranium from Niger. You remember that story.
Happy trails to you until we meet again.
Shows about sports, politics, money, sex, and religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters, every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540. I'm the host, Rona Renner, the mother of four, a new grandmother, a nurse, and parent educator. Listen and call in Childhood Matters every Sunday from 9 to 10 here on KRXA 540.
I'm Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Show. Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m., we'll explore Monterey Bay regional wine and food, markets, restaurants, menus, and prices. I'll interview winemakers, chefs, and other key players. We'll put food and wine together, and then we'll take them apart. If it's handcrafted beer or goat's milk and it's good, let's talk about it. Join me every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. to discuss food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay region, an especially delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. For Iraqis with lives of potential freedom stretched out before them, President Bush says the people must make the decision.
The choice is a free society. Or a society dictated by the evil people who will kill innocents.
68 people died today in Iraq as Sunnis and Shiites fought and ambushed each other, mosques among the targets. CBS News correspondent Kimberly Dozier is in Baghdad.
In Baghdad and Washington, officials are warning further chaos in Iraq could prove catastrophic. Today, the U.S. National Intelligence Director said it could even provoke Mideast-wide conflict between Sunnis and Shiites and ultimately damage the war on terror worldwide.
President Bush says the confusion over the Dubai Ports World Management contract at six American ports may be clearing.
I can understand people's consternation because the first thing they heard was that a foreign company would be in charge of our port security. When, in fact, the Coast Guard and Customs are in charge of our port security.
Senate Democratic leader Harry Reid has not given up yet on the idea of taking control of such contracts away from the executive branch.
A 45-day review without congressional oversight and approval is meaningless.
Still, Democrats and Republicans backed off on calls for an immediate vote to block the Dubai company's takeover of the British company pending the review. The Supreme Court has ruled it is not criminal racketeering for protesters.
This surprised me. I would have thought you might have seen Justice Breyer get all eight justices ruled for it.
Greg Trude at National Right to Life. The party roared in the memorably odoriferous streets of the French Quarter, but one famous personage took a breather. WWL reporter Dave Cohen.
Pete Fountain did not step off with his group for the first time today since 1962. Pete not feeling well. We're told he's at home and trying to get over what appears to be a touch of the flu. So Pete Fountain, for the first time in the history of the half-fast walking club, is not walking or even riding on a truck behind the group.
Pete Fountain lost his home and decades of memorabilia in Katrina's floods. His friends say he's been seriously bummed ever since. There's a transdermal patch now to fight depression. Dr. Alex Bodkin at McLean Hospital says the FDA approved it.
It really gets to work right away, which is not what happens with pills, which you are burning up in your liver long before you ever